Will you please pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Several years ago, my mom had the experience of becoming a grandmother for the first time. And then a couple of years later, there was another grandchild born, and another couple of years, another grandchild was born. And each time, I was amazed by the simple fact that my mom was so excited to share pictures and news of her grandchildren. They went up on Facebook. I heard from her friends and her neighbors. Your mom showed us pictures of your kids. And I started to wonder, what's so exciting about my kids? But then I started to get it. It's a grandparent's prerogative to be excited about good news. To be excited about children being born. And I admit, my mom probably was excited that I was going to get a dose of what I gave to her and my father. That may have been a part of it. But I've learned it's not just my mom. It's all grandparents. Whether you have grandchildren or grandpuppies, it doesn't matter. You love to show pictures to people and celebrate big things and little things, learning to walk, and first days of school, big things, weddings, celebrations, new children. We celebrate these things, right, don't we? And it's good news, and we can't wait to tell other people about it. You'll never believe it. Johnny got his first goal in soccer this week. I'm so proud of him. It was on his own team. It doesn't matter. You're still going to be proud of that, right? We get so excited to share this good news, so excited to be evangelists for our family. To go and tell people what's going on, what's worth celebrating. Sometimes even what's not worth celebrating. You know, my sister's going to have a surgery soon. You need to be praying for her. You don't know who she is, but please pray for her. I don't have a sister. I'm joking. But that's the sort of news we share too. Right? We are evangelists for so many different things. Coming up this fall, you'll be an evangelist for your favorite football team, right? Every spring, you're an evangelist for your favorite baseball team or your favorite basketball team. But when it comes to being an evangelist for Jesus, we start to cringe. We start to think of those people in suits walking up and down the street that are going to knock, and we want to pretend we're not home. We start to get a little leery when we hear the word evangelism. And I have to tell you, you're in good company. That's why we read from Jonah this morning. You notice it started with the second time God told him to do something. You may be familiar with the first time God told him to go to Nineveh. He got on a boat and went as far the other direction as he could before he got swallowed up by a great fish and spit back out on the beach from which he left. And he heard from God again, I told you, go to Nineveh. And this time he gets it. He goes, all right, God, that fish smelled really bad. I'm not going to try it again. I'll go to Nineveh. But I'm not going to promise anything. You know, there are enemies. You see, Jonah is from Israel, the northern kingdom. And their brothers, the southern kingdom, Judah, had just contracted with Assyria, the kingdom for which Nineveh was the capital, to beat up their brothers in the north. Assyria was the enemy of Israel, and Jonah was sent to them. And he said, you know, I really don't want to go. They're my enemies. I'd be perfectly happy with you smiting them. So this message you've given me for them isn't such a bad thing. I'll deliver it. And I hope they don't listen. This is Jonah's thought process, and it probably would be yours and mine too if God sent us to visit our enemies. But Jonah says to God, he says, you know, you're going to have mercy on them. You're not going to destroy them. Why bother sending me in the first place? Because nothing's going to happen. Well, Jonah goes to Nineveh. And he proclaims, God's going to destroy you unless you change your ways. For 3 days. This is a city which is huge in the ancient world. 368,000 acres. Let that sink in for a second. The palace alone is the size of one square block. So here is Jonah preaching to this city. And the people hear about it and they say, we don't want to be destroyed. We got to change our ways. And they do. The king hears about it and proclaims a fast. He says, not even your animals, no pets are eating until God has done something to preserve us. And that's what happens. God preserves the enemy of Israel. God has mercy on the enemy of Israel and forgives them. And Jonah, not knowing this at the time, goes out of the city, finds a nice place. You know, like we're at the high hill where you go to watch fireworks. He finds a nice place to go sit and watch the fireworks as they fall down on Nineveh while God destroys it. Kicks back and relaxes under a nice plant that's given him some shade. And the fireworks never show up. And the plant dies. Jonah gets all grumpy and complains to God. Why? You know, you spared the whole city. Why bother getting me out of my home? I went and did something uncomfortable and proclaimed this message to these people. And you killed the plant and spared the people. You should have killed the people and spared the plant. And that's where Jonah's story ends. Jonah, this evangelist for what God was doing, or might do, proclaimed a message to people who didn't believe in God in the first place, and they changed their behavior and God had mercy on them, and Jonah got upset. And you wonder why Christians don't like to talk about evangelism. God has created us and sent us to people. Sent us out into a world to bear a message that is worth proclaiming. It's just as exciting as having children or grandchildren and doing amazing things. It's just as excited as the Detroit Lions winning the Super Bowl, which has never happened and probably never will. The Browns will win before the Lions do. I hope not, but we hear this message of evangelism, this message of going and sharing good news. And I think there's some reasons we don't want to do that. Reasons we want to be like Jonah. One is we might get sent to people who don't like us. And we like to be liked. It's easy. It's comfortable. Right? We like to go to the comfortable places. It's easy to come to church when you're used to being around church people. Newsflash, church people ain't perfect either. Another reason we might not want to do it is we don't want to come across as pushy. You know, in our culture, we don't talk about religion or politics. And as cliche as it may sound, there's actually a meme that goes around. The reason we don't talk about religion and politics is because we don't know how anymore. We don't know how to disagree with people. We don't know how to have a spirited conversation where it doesn't devolve into yelling at each other. And so we just don't want to. Let's not push those buttons. Another reason is it's a lot easier to do this. In high school, I was friends with all the people who wore trench coats and had long hair. I did not have long hair or a trench coat at the time, though I wanted to have a trench coat, and my mom would not let me grow my hair out at that time. But I hung out with them nonetheless. And this well-meaning, good Christian person came up to us one day in the park, and my friends and I were sitting on a bench, and he handed us a tract, said, "You need Jesus," and then walked away. He didn't know I was teaching a Bible study. He didn't know that I was leading retreats on Christian spirituality as a high school student. Because he didn't know me. But it was very easy for him to walk up and hand me a piece of paper, tell me that Jesus loved me, and leave. You see, as Christians, we like to do this idea of passive aggressive evangelism. We put door hangers on people's doors. We put Bible verses on the eye black of our football or baseball uniform. Or we buy a banner and hang it at a baseball stadium. But we don't actually talk to people. We don't get to know them. We don't convince them that we love them for who they are. Because God loves them for who they are. Because that's real evangelism. And that's the message we have to share. Because some people just don't talk about it because they don't know what to say. Right? I just don't know what to say to my friend who doesn't go to church or doesn't know Jesus or doesn't understand. The message is simple, brothers and sisters. God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. God has forgiven you. It's done. And God has invited you to be a part of a community that exists to heal our broken and hurting world. Say that with me. God loves you. God has forgiven you. And God has invited you. That's the message. It's a beautiful message, isn't it? Almost as cool as grandkids. No, it's cooler. I don't have grandkids, so I can say that it's cooler than grandkids. But someday I may waffle a bit. We'll see. That's the message we have to share. That God has invited people to be a part of a community that transforms the world. You don't have to see a shooting at a high school again and again and again to know that our world is broken. You don't have to hear about someone walking into a church and killing people to know that our world is broken. You don't have to hear about world wars. You don't have to hear about ineffective politics. You don't even have to know that the Yankees win the world pennant year after year after year to know the world is broken. I'm sorry for all you New Englanders out there. But it's honest truth. The team with the most money tends to win. Our world is broken. And God has created a community of people to work at fixing it. And God is already at work. All we got to do is join in. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give drink to the thirsty. And I love that we're a part of a church that does that. Do you know that we had a truckload of goods to take into people this week who are still recovering from Irma? Their houses may be together, but their houses are empty and they're sleeping on the floor. Do you know that we had 43 people, am I got that number right, who came out here yesterday because they wanted breakfast and needed a place to eat? The church is the community of people that makes a difference in this world. And how is that not good news? And it started because God gave us the same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus. That's Pentecost. The same Spirit, the same power which we believe was in Jesus has come down and anointed us to do the work Jesus started, bringing healing and wholeness to the world. And it all starts because someone somewhere said something to you and to me and started us on this journey. There's a book that was published in, let me get this year right, 1678, called The Pilgrim's Progress. And I'll be honest, the theology in there is a little wishy-washy. I'm not a big fan of some of the theology in there, but the story is great. It's the story about someone who lived somewhere and heard from an evangelist. The names in this book are so clever, it's great. Evangelist told someone who started to become known as Christian about what was going on with Jesus. And Christian begins a journey toward God. And he goes all over the place, he tries all sorts of things, but he's continuing to try to get toward God. And that's what we do. We are evangelists. People with the good news. To share with somebody, somewhere, so that they can find wholeness in God. Now I ask you this morning, where is your Nineveh? Because if we're all like Jonah, and none of us really want to share this good news, we've been called to Nineveh somewhere. With a message not of destruction, but of inclusion, of love and grace and mercy. Where is your Nineveh? Where are the people in your life who are hurting? Where are the people in your life who need to know there is hope? Who need to be encouraged? Where are the people in your life who are lonely and need to know that there is a community of people who will love them no matter what? And even when we fail to love them no matter what, we will ask forgiveness when we fail. Brothers and sisters, there are people everywhere who need this good news, who need a community like ours. I hope you'll pray and go. Amen.